Happy Halloween to all those who celebrate the spooky holidays. This is Canuck Central, Satyar Shah with Vic Nizar, who's still in for Dan Riccio, ailing, but nearing a return. He's getting closer and closer to coming back, but it is us today. And as always, we're coming to you live from the Kintech studio, Kintech Orthotics, Canada's favorite provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And as always, get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And we have a loaded show coming up for you today. We have Mailbag Friday on a Thursday because tomorrow we're going to be live on location for the Canucks Autism Pro-Am Draft. So we're going to do the show on location, plus do the draft afterwards. And hopefully we're going to have Reach be part of it tomorrow. So because of that, we figured we'd do the Mailbag today. So Mailbag Friday on a Thursday, we have Landon Ferraro joining us coming up at 5 in the next segment. We're also going to talk to Mike Kelly from Sports Logic and NHL Network. He's one of the guys who is as locked in as anybody when it comes to dissecting teams and their trends and how they're playing and really looking at deeper analytics courtesy of Sports Logic. So we'll talk Canucks and what's happening around the league early in the season, and that's coming up a bit later in the show, next segment. But we'll get to the open coming up in a second. However, we have had not quite 24 hours, but 18 or so hours to digest what we saw last night between the Canucks and the New Jersey Devils. Bick, we did the post-game show.
Digested. That was a regurgitating performance
It really was, man. It was hard to, like, I still woke up feeling queasy this morning.
I watched a period, and I was like, you know what? I got better things to do this morning.
Well, you did actually accomplish something much better, but we'll talk about that later. Last night, people were fired up on the post-game show. We had lots of texts,
were they ever.
A lot of phone calls. Yeah. And we actually had a really fun show. We had fun with it. It wasn't so much about, the doom and gloom, but it was a really bad performance, and fans let the team have it. And there were fair criticism. And I think it wasn't unfair to really criticize just about anybody in what happened last game. And having had some more time to digest it, Bick, like, do you feel any better or worse about what you saw last night?
Oh, I feel worse. I feel worse about it, right? And look, there have been bad games even this season where they lose and you kind of wake up and you're like, I'm going to do the rewatch, and we watch it again. And, whether it's about a team conversation, whether that's about Elias Pettersson in particular, whatever it is, you kind of watch it in the sobering light of the morning. There's things that can work here, absolutely. It's tough to boo a performance. Home fans to outright, this was disgusting, and booing it. And we haven't seen it basically since the home opener 2022. Like, truly, this is a shocking performance, and we're embarrassed to have watched this embarrassing performance.
Yeah.
And I watched it again today. Again, what I eventually stopped at, my stop point was the first period. I was like, that's gross. It was 1-0. It was gross.
Yeah, it was a really poor performance. And it was a game where you really couldn't point to anybody and say, hey, at least this player was good.
Your beacon of hope, right? If a one line is going, like, all right, well, they're doing it, so I can do it.
I mean, honestly, like, the best performance was from a guy like Teddy Bluger, I thought. But even him, like, he didn't have a great game.
It's muted.
It is, right? I mean, like, I know nobody wants to hear it. Like, was Pettersson the best of the worst? And again, that's not to say he was good. That's not to say that, you should look at him as a beacon. You can criticize every single player. And you know what? We are going to talk about Pettersson. We're going to get to that in a second. But let's just get to the open.
Welcome to the open.
Oh, that's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
So today, the fan base is smarting still over a really bad loss. And of course, Elias Pettersson continues to be the main topic of conversation. He is very much the main character of this Canucks season because he's the highest paid player and he has very much underachieved so far. And the reason people are feeling, stressed about this is because the struggles also go back to last year. It's not just something that's happening at the start of the season. There is a longer track record on this. And we are going to talk about him a bit more. But one thing we wanted to do was open it up to you a little bit on a Dunbar Lumber text inbox. And you know what? Like, we're not looking for, ripping Pettersson. It's more about what do you think the issue is?
Okay. So here's what we want. We're going to build the take scale. Okay. On one side, there's the lighthearted. It's like, this is the reason. And we can sit here and dismiss it, but it's on the scale. It has a measurable weight to it,
like,
for the take.
Like, is that he's having too much Halloween candy?
Yeah.
that's like, okay, well, probably not.
Again, we'll dismiss some of them. Sat and I are the adjudicators of all this to push aside it, but we'll build the scale here. And then there's the heaviest one that maybe it's a fresh perspective that we haven't heard, and maybe we'll come up with one as well, that it actually has gravity to it. That you sit back and say, okay, that's the scale. It's a physical thing, and maybe that's only one part of the scale, but then there's this take here. We want to build the scale, because everyone, we're all in this echo chamber of, this is about Pettersson. This is what it is. This is what it is. And I know Halford and Bruff had a good clip about it today. We're going to invite all of the takes all at once. We just want it in, like, it's Halloween today. We want it in bite-sized form, right? We do not want full-size candy bars. We want 30 words or less. Text in 650-650. We want the quick, small candy size of your Pettersson take in 30 words or less, 650-650. And we're going to go through it with you, and we're going to build the scale here.
Yeah, we'll do that. And we'll do it coming up a bit later on here in this segment. So send your thoughts in 650-650. What do you think the issue is with Pettersson? And obviously, we don't want this to be something where it's like, oh, this person's, you know, a horrible player, needs to get traded. We're talking about, how do you get this player to be better, right? We saw the stuff that was out there on Instagram and how people went after him on social media. When it comes to, you know, people acting like absolute lunatics, I think, number one, it shouldn't get too much attention, because I don't think those people deserve any oxygen. It's fair to be critical of players. When you cross the line and you're really nasty and you talk about real life things, it's like, get a life. Like, honestly, like, I know you have a take on this, but I think anybody who goes that far on players, and I'm not going to talk about, you know, what was specifically said, but like really horrific stuff, like, you should probably not be watching sports. Like, you should probably...
It's probably not for you then.
It's probably not for you.
If it means, like, I am someone that devotes much of my emotion into my own personal sports fandom, right? Absolutely. A team of mine loses, I can turn the TV off and be like, oh, okay.
Ball up top,
right? Get going for the next game. If it's that personal to you that you've got to reach out to the players' Instagrams and start saying heinous things, then sports is just not for you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And honestly, that's not really fan behavior.
No, I mean, it's again, to me, it's lunacy. It really is, right?
Like, honestly, I'll just say, the easiest way I can say it is, you're not actually a fan. If your actions dictate that type of behavior, you're just not a fan.
Well, and what ends up happening is it gets in the way of having an earnest conversation about a player who's struggling and needs to be better. Because, hey, at the end of the day, the highest paid players have to live up to their contracts. They have to live up to expectations. And, I mean, the most obvious statement that's been made a lot over the last little bit, and it's the most obvious statement, everybody knows this, if your highest paid player isn't playing at his best, you're not accomplishing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I've heard that take from every announcer so far. And it's like the most obvious true take. So we all know this. It's yes, of course, this team is going nowhere unless they get the best out of Elias Pettersson, or at least closer to his potential. So we all know he has to be better, but let's be reasonable when we talk about these sort of things.
Oh,
so,
man, I just looked at the inbox. There's some good ones
coming
in here.
Do you want to start with this now? Do you want to sort through it?
We'll sort through it.
Okay, sort through it. Keep those thoughts coming in, and we'll talk here about the things that the player has to improve here. As far as the team and what we've seen here 9 games in, we're going to talk to Mike Kelly coming up next segment, but I'm really curious to get his thoughts on how the Canucks compare to last year, and if this team has evolved in any way in trying to become a better rush team. But as far as the counting stats go and some of the shot metrics go, there really hasn't been a lot of change from this year's team to last year's team. If you look at their shot attempts, their overall scoring chances, expected goals for, like, it's not too dissimilar. Like, maybe expected goals for and the shot metrics are slightly better than last year. The expected goals against are okay, but they're not very dissimilar from what we saw last year. Like, if you start looking at this team and looking at them as an evolution of what they were last year, I don't think they're any better yet. And I don't think there's any signs yet of any real movement from what they were last year. If anything, they've been sloppier and worse defensively.
So, rewatching that last night, and, you know, a sentiment that we got from a lot of fans last night is, there's a level of belief in Rick Tocchet that they'll get it right, and, you know, the accountability approach, which has worked wonders for them, obviously, over the course of the last 2 years here, there was a lot of belief. But they came into the season and saying, we wanted to approach the game differently this year. Obviously, they go out and get players like a DeBrusk, who, you know, has had rush success in his previous stint in Boston. one of the leaders in creating rush opportunities. And this was the demand that they wanted to do that. And we wondered, just we've heard, you know, Yannick talk about it on our station of, you know, well, the season that Willie Desjardins wanted to change some things. And, you know, that felt bigger than what Rick Tocchet had wanted to introduce here. But it didn't translate, and they had a terrible season. And we put down a seed of that. It was funny, though, is through 10 games, we haven't really seen this overwhelming rush team. It started that way, but then they blow a 3-goal lead, and suddenly it's as if the reins got pulled. And it's like, whoa, okay, maybe we can't do that just yet.
Yeah, and at the same time, I'm not sure exactly if the reins have been pulled yet. The exasperation the coach has seems genuine in that they're trying to impart a message that's not sinking in. Or hasn't sunk in. As far as any adjustments made, or I'm not sure they've done that. Because the one thing you have to be really careful too is they spent the entirety of training camp focusing on evolving as a team.
Yeah.
Do you throw that out the window 2 weeks in? And how did the players look at you after you spent all this time of like, hey, this is what we're trying to do. And then two games and you're like, hey, we're not doing this anymore.
Okay, but there hasn't been an evolution.
No, right? I don't disagree.
The attempt to evolve was there, obviously, in training camp in an environment that you can control. But I don't see an overwhelming rush team. Mm-hmm. I don't see this fluid play, certainly not in the power play. So the idea might be fine to have done it. It's not actually translating to what we're seeing through a handful of games.
I'm just saying, as far as if the reins have been pulled back, I'm not sure that has happened as far as the messaging goes, because do you change that quickly?
Sure.
Usually you don't see that. Like, coaches don't change that quickly. And what that ends up doing is sows a little bit of distrust in the players, saying, hey, does this guy really know what he's doing? And I'm not saying that's happening here, right?
It doesn't mean it's not correctable, but on a night like last night where everyone is in the firing line, not fired to get fired, but as far as firing line of criticism, Rick Tocchet, as far as the goalie decision, when the team doesn't look ready to play, that's also a function of the coach as well.
It's on the leaders on the team, and it's also the coach.
And
absolutely.
I think part of the criticism yesterday got negated to Rick Tocchet because of how lackluster the effort was for the players, who absolutely wear that. But he deserves some critiques for what happened last night as well.
When you have the worst home shutout loss in almost 20 years, everyone deserves scrutiny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 100%.
Fair, right?
And I just, you know, we'll talk about the rush chances here with Mike Kelly in a bit, but just based on the eye test, it sure doesn't look like they're creating much more.
So you're right, and that's where I'm really curious about where this team goes from here. And like, again, I think this team is talented. I think this team is going to be better than it has been, because I do think as poor as Pedersen's been, and as much as existential dread there is around his situation from the fans, like, I think we'll see improvements from him. But at the same time, is this team going to be able to be as good and have as the same identity they have last year as one of the best, cleanest teams in the league? Because until that comes back, like, they don't have an edge. Like, right now, this team does not have an edge. And until you find an edge, you can't be a difference-making team.
And we mentioned why there's not trade activity early on. Teams have their preseason plans still in place to get to game 15, game 20, and say, okay, what worked, what didn't, now we can reevaluate. If the plan was to become a more rush-focused team and create opportunities that way, we're not seeing it.
No, it hasn't. And it so doesn't bear out in the numbers.
The execution from a philosophical standpoint has not borne out here from the coaching staff. And that merits critique as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you look at the bigger picture about what the Canucks are trying to become and be, so far, very much a work in progress. And again, we're 9 games in to the season. There's still a long way to go. The Canucks have 11 points in 9 games. But let's be honest, they've lost 5 out of 9 games. They picked up points in 3 of those losses, but they have 4 victories and 5 losses on the column. That can't continue. And when you look at the trend and how bad the game was last game, like, it's concerning. Again, I think this team can get out of it, but these are things they have to improve significantly. Keep getting your thoughts in here, 650-650. As far as Elias Pettersson goes, Bick, you asked for people to text in their biggest concerns about his game, what they think is ailing him.
It's really good.
Yeah, and I mean, it's gotten to the point now that if you say you think Pettersson's going to get better, like Mark at the office says, I can't believe you guys continue to give Petey the benefit of doubt. You're starting to lose credibility. Like, what's the credible take? Trade Pettersson? Or he's never going to find his game again? Like, how's that more credible than saying, you know, like, I think he's going to be better than what he's been? Maybe he won't be, but, like, You know, is it credible? Is somebody more credible if they say Pettersson stinks, trade him, he'll never be a good player again? Is that the credible take today? How does that take look in like 3 weeks if he plays better?
Yeah. Or, you know, for a market that has, you know, mentioned all the trades that have gone wrong, where a player leaves and thrives all of a sudden, if that were to happen here, now you're comfortable in this moment doing it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just not believable.
Yes. All right. Now, as far as the takes, and you said you wanted to go through the full spectrum.
I'm trying to grab as many as I can here, okay. But yeah.
Have you figured out a couple? So keep going through them.
I'll read a couple here.
All right.
Again, it goes from gripping a stick too hard, right?
Yeah.
Is that believable?
I mean, it's believable. Those are obviously very correctable.
I'll read this one. The issue is us. He is elite, and this is overblown.
I mean,
that might be the smallest measure on the take scale right there.
Yeah, I mean, is some of it overblown because of the oxygen it gets and how extreme some of the takes are? Sure. But he has struggled. Like, he does not, like, it's not just about the numbers. If you go through, you know, it's been documented, the skating speed, the shot volume, all these things are down. So it's not like this player is hitting all these markers and simply not producing. So I'm not sure it's overblown. The scrutiny, I don't think, is overblown. Is some of the extreme criticism overblown? I'd say yes.
This one, he has a tough time dealing with criticism, dealing with lack of success. It does weigh on him. And I'm not saying this is a good thing, but in saying that, it is likely what he has experienced. It means the weight of our expectations and our criticisms are not helping him get out of his way. Either we lay off or he goes somewhere else. That's all one big take there. I do wonder about this one, though. On the idea of... look, I know there's not going to be a lot of sympathetic ears when you say something like this, but getting a lot of money and dealing with success, right? The team has mentioned how to deal with success as a group of players coming off of last season's playoffs and embracing the hard. Okay, dealing with success yourself as an individual, getting to a certain level and saying, okay, this team has invested $93 million in me. Now I have to live up to what that price tag means.
I honestly, those things to me would be fine because you'll overcome that eventually. Like
that's a big thing. And under the context of this is a fan base that is demanding a lot, rightfully so, right? 50 plus years of not winning a Stanley Cup. I'm making $3 million more than everyone else on the team. And everyone's looking at me. And I've got to be the one to do it. And for a guy that's, you know, a recluse, a little bit private player, how much does he take internally on that? I like that take.
Well, you think that is the take?
I'm just saying, if we're plotting out the gravity of the problem, that would be high end on the scale.
If
that's what it is, man, that's a big, big problem.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just expanding on the take there.
So when it comes to those types of things, right, you're right. I mean, if that's the case, but like, there's no way to quantify what's going through somebody else's mind and how they're feeling in a situation and what that's going to do to their play and how that's going to, you know, move forward. The same thing as, you know, there's a take here. He clearly doesn't care about the game anymore. That would be a big problem. He doesn't care about the game anymore.
Yeah, that would be
a massive problem.
That would probably be the last rung on the ladder.
But there. I mean, like what evidence is there? Is the evidence that he's struggling, that he doesn't love the game?
Mm-hmm.
Is like, I don't know. Like, that's why it's like, I get it. That's a concern. You can call that a concern, but I don't think there's any way for you to be able to prove that, you know, that is the issue. This one here says from Melissa in a helicopter, Pettersson is clearly hurt. He needs rest or surgery. How much is the injury thing? Because, I mean, okay, if you have a knee injury, you're probably not going to skate as fast and be as quick and explosive. The numbers show he's not skating as fast. He's not as explosive. If you also have a sort of an injury with an arm, a shoulder, an upper body injury, you probably don't shoot the puck as much. And when you do, it's probably not as hard. Well, Pettersson doesn't shoot the puck as much. The shot's not very hard.
Well, that shot at the end of the first period yesterday was...
Yeah, it's not very hard.
Tough to watch, yeah.
Is it a player who just forgot how to shoot and forgot how to skate? Or is there something hindering him? If it's an injury, where does that rank on the scale?
It's probably the threshold, like, right in the middle, right? Where it's believable to overcome, But at the same time, are there lingering effects of that? Is it a mental component of, hey, I've got this, how much can I trust my body right now? We mentioned that in the terms of an ACL, right? It's a devastating injury, and even once you go through the surgery, rehab, recover, there's still an element of having to trust your body to do that. Even if it's something as simple as tendonitis, is there an element where he doesn't trust his body to a certain mm-hmm. amount right now? And yeah, it can improve and heal and all that, and mentally do you overcome that? But right now, what are we dealing with in the here and now?
And obviously we know about the knee injury. Is there something else with an upper body injury as well going on with him? I mean, you hear different things, but nobody confirms anything one way or another. But the numbers, I think, are pretty startling when it comes to the shots. And I think that's a big indication. Why is he not skating as fast? Why is he not shooting the puck as hard? And to me, it's not just about not finding enough open space and simply confidence. It goes beyond that, I think. And would the injury be the most obvious answer to it? And again, I haven't used the injury thing, but you start seeing overwhelming evidence about a player mm-hmm. not even doing the things you're used to seeing him do, even at an average level. That does sound off some alarm bells about what's going on. And again, yeah, I certainly hope it's not the bigger existential, emotional, mental issues that get in somebody's way. Because again, I don't know how to prove that. And obviously, those would be concerning.
I don't think it's any one of these things. And this one, you know, play has fallen off since Kuzmenko left. Take that's come in.
So trade for Kuzmenko again. How much is it going to cost to bring Kuzmenko back? You think Tocchet's okay with it?
It's like Jake DeBrusk contract, basically. plays better when physically engaged. Doesn't play well through injury. This one, he's got to simplify his game, make him a winger again. There's this one, and we were chatting about this last week as well. I mentioned on the People Show that I do wonder if there's a little element of tortured genius here. Of being a perfectionist.
Well, yeah, I think those things are fair, yeah. But I don't know if you're a perfectionist, how you're going from being a perfectionist to like, I'm just not going to shoot it. I'm going to be even
sure.
worse at
yeah,
how I
yeah.
do my craft,
100%.
Right? Like that's a part of it. Like if you're a perfectionist, you're trying to do things so perfectly that you overdo it. Like I don't see a player overdoing it. I don't see a player over trying or trying to do too much. I think Quinn Hughes is trying to do too much, but he's doing it out of like ambition.
Sure.
You know, like I'm not seeing that from Pettersson.
That's when he's a perfectionist, afraid to make a mistake and what people will think versus just playing natural. His natural talent is unreal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure there's one answer to it. And I think when a player is, you know, losing his overall all effectiveness to the degree we've seen with Pettersson, I don't think it's just one thing that gets to it. Somebody texts in the yips, 100%. Could it be that?
I just don't think it's stuff like that.
The thing I would say, though, is because people are saying like we've never seen Pettersson like this, and this is not to say like to justify like, you know, but he's looked like this before. We've seen this before a couple of years ago, and he got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's a player that can get out. He's shown in the past he can get out of it. And it's not like we haven't seen evidence of this before. But obviously, it's something that he's going to have to overcome and something that he can't allow to happen as time goes on. Still a player that's 25 years old, turning 26. A long way to go in his career. But he has to evolve and take a step. And clearly right now, not at the level that people want him to be at. All right. A lot of great thoughts in the text inbox. You know, some better than others, but always
fired up.
Always fired up. And we appreciate it very much on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650, 650. All right. We mentioned the trend line. And we're also going to talk about Elias Pettersson with Mike Kelly as well. That's coming up next right here on Canuck Central.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.